This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
So from second down and 9, it's now second and 24. The ball back at the 28. Texans moving left to right. Stroud lines up in the gun. He's got two receivers to his left, one to his right. Stroud gets the snap. He's back to pass. Blitz coming. Gets picked up. Throws down the middle. Collins has it. Inside the 10. Inside the 5. Collins in the end zone. Touchdown, Texans.
We're back with more Chuck Swirsky on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's right, and we will be on the air until 5 o'clock. Then we have Justin coming up. We got Molly and Haw, our Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. And Olin Kreutz with Molly and Haw at 7. Brad Biggs with Molly and Haw, 7:25. DJ Moore with Molly and Haw. That's going to be a must listen. At 8, you got Anthony Herron, Bernstein and Holmes. Bernstein and Holmes with Dan Weider at noon. You got Kurt Warder with Spiegs and Manley. You got Mark Brody at 4 with Spiegs and Patrick. Then at 5 o'clock, Jalen Johnson with Spiegs and Manley. And Tuesday, TJ Edwards with Bernstein and Holmes. And be listening later this morning during Mully and Haw, your chance to be a part of a live studio audience for September 25th from 5:30 to 10 at Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Mully and Haw will be joined by the Bulls head coach, Billy Donovan, in studio during the 8 a.m. hour that morning. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. Big Billy Donovan fan. But I'm not a fan of the Bears' offensive line last night. Not a fan of the challenges. I mean, what were they thinking? I mean, that was some horrible decisions on the part of the coaching staff to make these challenges, and it cost him a timeout. I'm thinking, what are you doing? Not a fan of the play calling, and it was just a bad football game against a really good Houston team. When you play a team like Houston, the margin of error is very, very slim. Would you agree with that, Robbie?
Oh, 100%. And for Matt Eberflus to make those decisions, I just don't understand. There's never been more cameras and more screens in the world than there are right now. The fact that the Bears got those wrong so many times, what are we doing?
Yeah, and so a lot of Bears fans are very frustrated.
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Well, hey, listen, you know what? Bears fans are Bears fans. They're very passionate. But we've got some texters. We got calls, 312-644-6767. People are saying, Chuck, enough of your praising Caleb Williams, even though he had a bad football game. You say he's going to win Rookie of the Year. You say that he's a future Hall of Fame player. Yes, I've said all those things, and I'm not taking it back. They said, you got to bench him. He's not ready. Go with Tyson Bagent. Are you kidding me? Seriously? You're going to bench a guy after two games? Caleb Williams deserves to start every football game. I'm telling you right now, Caleb Williams is the real deal. Period. I don't want to hear about Tyson Bagent. Do I think the Bears are fortunate? They have a backup quarterback like him? Yes. Do I think he could start in the NFL? I don't know. Do I think he's a legit backup quarterback? Yes. But, I mean, I don't know. Why am I doing this show? Robbie, why am I doing this show?
Because we love you.
Yeah. Do you think I should just leave right now and get network programming? Because some of these texts don't make any sense. They're ready to bench Caleb Williams for Tyson Bagent. No disrespect to Tyson Bagent, but he's not Caleb Williams.
I think what Bears fans are having difficulty with right now is the expectations that were in the offseason were so high. It seemed like Caleb Williams was going to be Patrick Mahomes.
But it's two games.
Exactly.
They lost in Houston.
I think that
they
Bears
lost
fans,
at Houston.
This fan base is starved for an amazing quarterback.
They did lose at Jacksonville.
I agree. No, this is going to take time, and I think Bears fans need to understand. First of all, you guys are 1-1. You have a win. This is the second game of the year, and you played against a team you're going to lose to. I think what they're so frustrated about is what they saw was a bunch of garbage when it came to the offensive line.
Well,
the play calling.
How many sacks was Caleb Williams?
They got him seven times.
Seven times.
So this So this year was going to be sold as, you know what, we're not like the other Bears teams, and it's looking like a lot like the other Bears teams in the past. So I think that's why the fans here are so frustrated.
I mean, listen. I'm not going to absolve the fact that he threw two picks. He missed DJ Moore down the stretch in the fourth quarter. Listen, no excuses. I'm not an excuse guy, okay? I don't believe in shortcuts, but I do believe in Caleb Williams. I think this guy is legit, period. Let's go back to the phone lines. Nate, welcome. 670 The Score. What's happening?
Hey, Chuck. How are you?
Well, I'm kind of fed up here. I'm fed up because I think Bears fans are expecting way too much in week two of the NFL season. Everyone wants instant gratification. It doesn't work that way. But what should work is they've got to work on this offensive line.
Well, and so I got 2 points. So my first point, yes, they got to work on the offensive line, because if I'm any defense that's playing the Bears right now, I'm just going to come in and blitz them until they can figure out how to stop it or how to beat it. You know what I mean? And until you can figure that out, and that's on the coaching staff first and foremost to figure out what they got to do to fix that. And then my second point is, so Brad Biggs put out from Vegas, he's got the line. It's -2.5 next week. Colts are favored. And on top of that, the Colts put up 27 points last week against this same Houston Texans team. So, I mean, we have our hands kind of full right now if you're going off of that. You know, the same team played last week and this week, and they scored, you know, 27, and we only scored, you know, 13. So, you know, we got our hands full.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to be an easy football game, but I am saying the Bears are going to beat the Colts. Again, mark this down. Send the tape to the old sports station in Indianapolis. That if the Bears lose to the Colts, I'm buying this radio station that I'm currently hosting a show, midnight to 5 a.m., I'm buying this radio station donuts, because I am Joe Bag of Donuts. I'm a fan, and I would be very disappointed if the Bears lost to Indianapolis. And
no,
you said, you said the line is what?
-2.5.
Well, I don't know who makes up this stuff, but they certainly don't know football. They want to get the right pick. You come to me, and I'll tell you. And you can ask whatever you want. You want chocolate glazed? You want the apple fritter? You got it.
What's your favorite donut? And where are we getting these donuts from, Chuck?
Well, see, my favorite is probably Do Right Donuts. There's a great Do Right Donuts on Erie, just a couple of blocks from here, off Michigan Avenue.
I've never had it.
Yeah. Really, really great. The owner, Mark Tormey, great job. Unbelievable. You go in there, that place is packed. And I'm a donut guy. I like donuts. Okay.
If you were to draft your favorite breakfast foods, is that 1-1?
Well, see, this is what I go with the yogurt, I go with the fruit, and I go with cereal and almond milk. And then you have to have a little balance. And then I get the donut.
So it's like your cheat meal. Okay. See, you have a healthy breakfast. I go for the donut every time.
It's like when you get a salad. You have a nice salad, and maybe you put a little protein. And then the next day, you get a big double cheeseburger. Get a little balance. Really, I'm serious. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Let's see. We got some more text. Chuck, I heard you mention DJ Moore's coming on at 8 o'clock. They should trade him and get an offensive lineman. Wait. You know, I got to talk to Mitch Rosen. He's the czar. He said, Chuck, you know what? Until the bull season starts, can you fill in midnight to 5? Right, Robbie? And
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Thinking, sure, why not? I mean, win, you lose, whatever. I mean, these Bears fans are out of their mind. They're nuts. And no. I love them. But you're not going to trade I don't want to trade DJ Moore.
Is there a fan base in the country that overreacts to a loss more than Chicago fans? I love them so much, and I love every listener of this station. But after every loss, it's like the sky is falling.
Yes. Especially, I mean, listen, there are some great sports towns. Chicago, however, is the best.
This is the best. The
this
absolute
is the best.
Best.
I mean, you know, New York, Boston, Philly, Detroit, whatever. But all I'm saying is there's nothing like Chicago, period. Let's go back to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Michael is calling on 670 The Score. Michael, what's happening?
It's actually Goodman. Goodman.
Goodman. Go ahead, Goodman.
Good morning, my brothers Chuck and Robbie. I pray to God that Caleb Williams thrive with the Chicago Bears with an offensive line, running game second to none. You know what I'm saying? I also pray that Caleb becomes Chicago Bears' greatest quarterback because Chicago deserves a great football game and win some great football game for the state of Illinois' home of champions because passion and hard work. Workers like Frank Thomas, Jody Mack, Chuck, my brother, radio host that inspires our great country, the United States of America, the greatest country on God's planet. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. Go Bears. My favorite donut piece, my brothers and sisters, is the apple fritter. What do you think?
Good call there.
Yes.
An apple fritter and those apples from the state of Michigan. By the way, go blue, but I'm worried about their offense. Of course, they did lose 12 players and their head coach to the National Football League. But that Michigan offensive system right now, their quarterback, he threw 3 picks against, who'd they play, Arkansas State or somebody?
Yeah, they did.
Really? Seriously?
I forgot you love Michigan sports because you used to call them. I'm from Michigan, so I love that.
Yeah, go blue. But, again, they do have good apple fritters in Michigan.
The best.
Yes. 312-640-C. We are a full-service, overnight, morning sports talk show talking Bears. How many hits do you think Caleb Williams took in the ballgame against Houston? Do they have that stat? Do you have it in front of you? I mean, he took at least a dozen.
Yeah, I'll pull it up, but it felt like a million.
Yes. Especially going out of bounds. And that's when they got in that where that Texan threw a punch at one of the Bears.
Caleb Williams got hit 11 times.
11. I was close. 11 times. He got sacked 7 times. How can you win a football game when you get sacked 7 times and you're hit 11? And we're not talking about like a little tap and a little push here. We're talking he got drilled.
No, I felt bad for him the entire game because it's like this is your franchise quarterback and you're watching him getting mauled.
You know what I felt?
Mauled.
I remember the game was it against the Browns where Justin Fields was getting hammered by Garrett all time. I mean, one play after another, and Myles Garrett went to Fields after the game. Remember that? And said, "Hey, kid, you know what? I got to give you total respect because you got killed and you just popped up." Well, guess what, Caleb Williams. He took the high road, and we're going to hear from Caleb Williams at the bottom of the hour about his performance. We also have Matt Eberflus, but I was just so disappointed with everything in this ball game, whether it was the offensive line, whether it was play calling, whether it was the decisions on challenges. You can go right down the list, on and on and on. I mean, they had no running game. I mean, the offensive play calling, no Komet. They forgot about him. Then they tried to establish him early in the third quarter. And Aduze, I mean, he obviously was 100%, but I mean, at least, you know, target him. Because every time the Bears needed to play, they were going to DJ Moore. And I love DJ Moore. I mean, the guy is a tremendous football player. But, I mean, if I know and I'm watching the game that they're going to DJ Moore, what do you think that they're dialing up on the defensive coordinator for Houston? Hello? You know? All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Phil on 670 The Score. Phil, welcome at 2:16 in the morning. We're on the air live until 5, and then Dustin and Mully and Hall will take it from there. Go ahead.
Good morning, Chuck. And I, you know, my assessment, and as I pick the Bears to go 9-8 this year, I think that's about right. I mean, I have to do any better than that without a running game and no offensive line. I find it pretty hard to believe they'll win more than 9 games. I do think they'll beat the Colts next week, but when there's not much we can do with this offensive line this year. We're stuck with what we have. But when you get to next year's draft, I want to draft 2 offensive linemen, and that first pick has got to be the best center you can possibly find, because Jeff Joniak is right. If you can't stop the rush up the middle, your quarterback has no chance. You've got to have a top-notch center, and I want that first pick to go for the best center they could find.
Okay, but how about this? Available. How about this? How much money do the Bears give Cole Kmet? How much money? 50? 50. $50
million.
$50 million,
yeah, for 4 years, yeah.
How come he's not a player that you have, number one, on the field, and how come you don't throw that pass in the flat to him? I don't get it. What am I missing here?
I think the pass in the flat should go to DJ Moore. If you can beat that pass rush and you burn him for touchdowns a couple of times, that'll stop that pass rush at bay. You got to give the ball in the flat to your fast receiver, not to
a
tight end.
Well, no, I disagree. I think you can throw a bubble screen. I think you can throw a bubble screen to Kmet. I think you can throw the ball to Kmet over the middle. I think you can utilize Kmet not as a standard tight end, but I think you've got to integrate Cole Kmet into this offense.
Well, not only Cole Kmet, but I think you got to – well, they didn't have Keenan Allen tonight either. That hurt him, too.
True, and hopefully he'll be back.
Not having
that
veteran receiver. DJ Moore was all you had. I do think you need to get Cole Kmet more involved, but the best way to beat a pass rush is to find a speedy, open receiver, burn him for touchdowns, and that'll keep that pass rush at bay if you can burn him a few times. You need to use DJ Moore on quick slants or screens to beat that pass rush, get him downfield and in the end zone. That's how you do it.
Yep. Well, I appreciate the call. Thank you. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. We'll also take your text. Let's see. We have one of the texters saying, Kmet isn't out there because he can't block. Okay. Let's see. Here's another text. Chuck, we love your passion for Chicago, but get with it. The Bears are an under 500 team. I don't believe that. 773. I don't believe that. The Bears are not a sub 500 ball club. And I'm going to prove you wrong. They're going to win 9, 10, 11 games this year. Let's return to the phone lines. Rudy, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, how's it going, Chuck?
First of all, Rudy.
Much respect. Can't wait for the bowl season. But so these first 2 weeks, right, I'm having flashbacks of unfortunately, I'm an Iowa fan here from Des Moines, grad. It's like depending on your punter and defense the whole time. And I guess at least we have a good punter now. But, geez, it's like watching the same thing over and over again. And you know, I like Caleb Williams. I think he's going to be great. It's just hard to wait, and they just need to weather the storm. But it is not looking good with Waldron so far, and that's where I'm kind of pointing my finger at is Waldron and just the offensive line as well. But
yeah, well, again, I'm disappointed with the play calling. I didn't like it tonight, even last week. I want to give the man a chance. I'm not going to judge him on 2 games, but I'm very disappointed what I saw tonight. Williams threw the ball 37 times, pressured on 36. I don't like some of the play calling. I don't like his schemes. But again, that is just 2 games, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. A lot of teams will go into Houston and come away with a loss. So we have to keep things in perspective. So thank you for the call. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Justin in River North. Justin, welcome. 670 The Score at 2:20 in the morning.
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking my call. Chuck, you're the man for the Bulls. I just wanted to say, I mean, I think some people need to chill a little bit. I mean, at least we're competitive. That's a good-ass team. We're just not there yet. You know, it's a tough road game. Week two, first road game for Caleb. I think our defense looks good. There's a couple of chunk plays that they gave up. But, again, we're competitive. Again, baby steps. And the last thing I want to say is I think we should keep our heads high because we fought to the end. And, you know, on to week three. So I'll let you guys take it from here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think, you know, when you're starting to talk anything about the Bears, people run hot and cold. And right now, it's very, very hot. People are upset with the outcome of this ball game. And I get it. I understand it. I didn't like a lot of things that occurred. But I also think that you have to also praise Houston. This is a really good football team the Bears played last night in Houston. A lot of teams are going to go into that Houston and come away with a loss. So I want to be, you know, realistic about this. Not a lot of people, if any, took the Bears to win this football game. And the Bears were in it until the end, despite all the issues with their offensive line and the challenges and the everything you want to say about the Bears. But having said that, they gotta work on some things. They gotta clean up a lot of stuff. And I thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Glennie, you're on 670 The Score.
Yeah, this is Glennie again. Listen, Chuck, who supports you? Your fans, right?
Well, yeah, the sponsors, the fans, we're all in this together.
Wait. Now, just wait a second. You're offering everybody donuts except for us, the ones that call in. Why not?
Because I don't have a budget. I don't have a budget. What do you want me to do? You want me to give everyone who calls the radio station next Monday if the Bears lose to the Colts donut?
Just tonight.
I don't have a budget. You want me to give everyone who calls a donut?
How many callers are going to call in tonight, Chuck?
We have a lot of calls. We're on the air until 5. And Mully and Hall and Bernstein and Holmes. And Spiegs.
What? You even said that you were going to pay for the Colts.
I said.
We're the ones that support you. You should get us some donuts. Well, I love a donut.
Okay, I'll tell you what. If we get a donut deal, because, again, I'm just a fan doing this show. My real job is play-by-play announcer for the Chicago Bulls. When I fill in for 670 The Score,
I
love the czar. Mitch Rosen, but I said if the Colts beat the Bears, I'm going to buy 670 The Score boxes of donuts because, after
boxes.
All, they've got to put up with this every week. What?
I want one donut. That's all.
You want a donut? Then go to a donut store. You can afford a $4 donut, $3 donut, whatever.
You can't. You shouldn't make it up. I mean, you're willing to pay everybody on your staff. Why not your listeners who are supporting you?
You know what? How about that? You know what?
Be there.
Lenny, I will work on that. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Okay, one line open, 312-644-6767.
Were you open to the idea, though, to get in the fan? How about if we had you on Michigan Avenue with a table and some donuts, and you just handed them out? Hi, I'm Chuck Swirsky. I'm sorry the Bears lost. Here's a donut.
Wait, whoa. Think about, Robbie, what you're saying. So you want me to go on Michigan Avenue with a table, like a rectangular table.
Yeah, like a folding chair. Like the
folding chair next to like the Jack Brickhouse statue.
Correct. Or maybe in like the Starbucks, the Starbucks down the street. I don't know. Just go right by there. A very busy area.
You want me to set up? Okay, number one, I don't know if we can do that. You know, I think you have to have a permit, right?
I'll get a permit for you, Chuck.
You on line one with the mayor? Good luck on that.
Yeah, I mean, I work for 670 The Score, I hope. Yeah,
that's right. So then we get a sponsor for donuts, whether it's Dunkin' Donuts, whether it's Stan's, whether it's Do Right Donuts, any other donut, and say, Chuck is giving away donuts to listeners who drop by. And so here, have a donut. You know how many donuts we will need for drive time?
A lot.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe we'll table this. We'll table this.
I think so. Let's see. People want to start talking about Caleb Williams. Chuck, he's not ready. He needs to be benched. These people are out of their mind. Maybe it's – do you work this shift and you get people to text like this? They want to bench Caleb Williams. I think people need therapy. I really do think. I think people need a couch and they need therapy and they need to chill. They need to relax. Caleb Williams is going nowhere. He does not need to be benched. He's the Bears' best quarterback, and the kid has an unbelievable upside. I love Caleb Williams. He's not getting benched, nor should he be benched. How can people just start going off? I don't get it. All right, let's go to Tom. Tom, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, Chuck. Thank you to Robbie. I didn't know who was the producer or the screener at the time, but what I want to say, I brought up Tyson Bagent. I don't want to replace Caleb Williams. I want them to try to use the old New Orleans where they are using Tyson Hill, their tight end. And they're both on the field at the same time. And the guy can basically – Bagent can play – if you put both those guys on the field at the same time, you only have X amount of talent on a team. And offensive talent, special teams talent, defensive talent. Well, it would be a lot easier for that O-line to block if you had those two weapons on the field at the same time.
And what happens if Bagent gets hurt? Then what do you got?
You don't think that way, Chuck. I don't think that way. For one thing, he's a very physical specimen. He usually dishes out the punishment. He doesn't usually he doesn't shy away from hits. He's just a stud. He's a stud. He's on the team. And you can make your you were already complaining about the play calling and it isn't that. I don't want to expand the playbook. I just want to make the other team's defense think about what the hell's going to happen.
Well, thank you for the suggestion. I appreciate it. I disagree with it. I think the Bears need to look at their play calling. And I was very, very disappointed with their play calling tonight. Obviously, the defensive job was terrific, in my opinion. They were great. Special teams, great. Offensive line, not good at all. Play calling, not good at all. Decision-making on challenges, not good, period. And so they've got to work on a lot of stuff. Caleb Williams, those two picks, and then he threw a bad ball to DJ Moore at the end. And all this will be cut up and dissected and chopped up. Mullion Hall at 5 to 9, and then you got Bernstein at home. You got Spiegs coming on the air, and then we got Cubs baseball. They're taking on Oakland. Cubs are 5 out of the last playoff spot for the wild card in the National League. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Again, the Bears lose at Houston. We got more text. Chuck listening to the show on the night shift. All I can tell you is the Bears need to trade a first-round pick for a legit offensive lineman. Like, that's going to happen, right? I think people think all they have to do is pick up the phone, offer a first-round pick, and get a 26-year-old stud. It's not happening, folks. It's not happening. They can bring in different guys, but you're not going to find a 26-year-old player entering his prime for a first-round pick. It doesn't work that way in the National Football League. This is not like the NBA where you can trade a 27, 28 first-round pick and put it in a package deal. Okay, so you can wipe that notion right out of your brain. It's not going to happen. All these teams are looking for the same thing. The Bears would love to upgrade their offensive line. Trust me. Just like a lot of teams would love to upgrade their offensive line. But you have to be sensible about these things. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Mark in Joliet. Mark, you're on 670 The Score. Mark, are you with us?
Yeah, Chuck, listen, Coach Eberflus, his real weakness as a coach is he's not offensive-minded, which means that he really depends completely on the offensive coach he decides to hire. And to me, a coach has to know both sides of the ball. And I really feel like he never – I wonder if he even challenges his offensive coordinator. Like, hey, wait a second. Why are we doing this?
Yeah, I think he does. You don't think – you don't think behind closed doors a head coach challenges his coordinators? You don't think when they have just a very frank and transparent and honest conversation, when they look at tape, that they don't have a heart-to-heart? I think they do. I can tell you what. Not, I've never met the man. I don't know the man. But one would think, like any line of work, that when you have conversations with your inner core group of leadership coaches, that you address this.
I agree. I mean, I can't argue that we don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but come on, this is starting to be, this is looking like the same old stuff. I mean, Shane Waldron, I mean, probably a nice guy, probably very competent, but, and I don't know, it's so hard. I'm getting tired as a Bear fan saying, well, it's a new quarterback. He's still learning. This just looks like Fields all over again. I mean, these little three-yard passes, you know, he skips Cole Kmet. He's got his old buddy, whoever that new tight end is. I don't, and to me, it's just as a head, like, look at Andy Reid. I think he knows both sides of the ball, and I think he's going to put his foot down.
Okay.
I don't think
so. Let me ask you a question. How long has Andy Reid been coaching in the National Football League? And again, he's an offensive-minded coach. I get that. He is an offensive-minded coach. And so, and Eberflus is on the defensive side and is entrusted offensive play calling, you know, to whether it was Getsy, who they hired very quickly, and now Waldron, who has experience in Seattle, right? Am I telling you the truth? Yes.
Yes, you are.
So when you hire a coordinator, when you go through the process of interviewing, Ryan Poole sits down. Matt Eberflus sits down with prospective candidates, and you go, okay, this is going to be our personnel. What are we going to run? What type of packages do you plan to run with a rookie quarterback, and we're going to upgrade the wide receiver situation. We're bringing in these players at running back. This is what you have as a tight end. What do you want to add? What is your mindset for the personnel with this team? And so they bought in. Now, I'm telling you, after two games, I'm not impressed. I'm just being upfront. But does that mean that I'm ready to blow him off? No, of course not. You got to give this man a chance. You're dealing with a rookie quarterback in the National Football League, and you're dealing with a lot of players who are new to the system. So let's pump the brakes on this. But I will say I was disappointed last night against Houston with the play calling, with the decision-making on challenges, you name it. I didn't understand what's going on with Cole Kmet. Then they finally got him into the loop in the third quarter, and we saw a little of him in the second half, but not enough, in my opinion, because I do think he is one of the best tight ends in the National Football League. But, again, they're going into Indianapolis. One of the callers said that I guess the Colts are favored by 2.5 points. I think that is a winnable game for the Bears, period.
One last thing, Chuck, but my question is, what's with this offensive line and why it's such an obvious need? And I don't know if you read Jason Leisure's column Sunday. Actually, I looked at it tonight in the middle of it. I'm like, God, this is exactly what happened. He said Eberflus is a great defensive coach, a nice guy, but he hasn't proved himself on the offensive end. Now, I know what you're saying. Yes, they talk. Anybody can talk. Anybody can present anything. But I still feel, Chuck, in the middle of a game, in the heat of the battle, Eberflus doesn't have the confidence in himself to say, hey, wait a second. This ain't working. We got to do something different. Andy Reid would do that. I don't think Eberflus is anywhere close to that. And that's the problem. You got to have a guy who knows both ends of the ball. Maybe not, oh, sure, he's always going to be better defensively, but he's got to have some cojones to say, hey, wait a second, this offense isn't working. Lovie Smith was the same way, defensive, and he relied way too much on an offensive coach, and he never would interfere.
But we don't know. But, okay, you're speculating. We don't know what a conversation is like with Eberflus and Waldron, do we? We really don't.
No, we don't.
But again, that is the responsibility of a head coach. If he sees a flaw or he wants to integrate more of a run game or more personnel, you go to your offensive coordinator and say, listen, you know what? I'm not telling you how to do your job. We brought you in to do your job. That is your responsibility. But this is what I want to see. We need to run the ball more. We need to get Cole Kmet some looks. We need to find out if you have some concern. Let's bring the offensive line coach in, and the three of us are going to hash out what we can do to mix things up. Ryan Bates went on injured list, so he missed the game tonight. Last night, he's going to miss the next three. They got to deal with Coleman Shelton at center. I'm not sold on him. They've got some issues on the line. Davis has been very inconsistent, and so we'll find out what's happening. You know, as simple as that.
I agree, Chuck. You're absolutely right.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you. We got lines open, 50,000 watts. We're getting a ton of text, and 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. And people are saying, Chuck, what about the run game? How many yards today, Robbie, for the Bears in their run game? Would they have like 70, 75, something
71.
Like 71. 71.
DeAndre Swift had 14 carries for 18 yards.
Yeah. And Houston, by the way, had less than 80 yards, right? I mean, Houston didn't run the ball. I'll tell you what, the Bears defense, I love the Bears defense. I think the Bears defense is one of the top five, seven in the National Football League.
I'm sad that it took this long to get to that point, because I know we want to harp on the bad, but the good of this team is excellent, and that's that Bears defense. And shout out Kyler Gordon. He was phenomenal tonight.
Yes, he was. And so was Edmonds. And so was Brisker. I love Brisker, by the way. Brisker can play for me any day of the week. I love the makeup. I love the tenacity. They play with a swag. They play with a chip. And so I love special teams. I said this last week. People should never, ever take Santos for granted. This guy comes in and just kicks. Kicks, kicks, kicks. I mean, he's so consistent year after year after year. That's the least of their problem. They got a punter now, and they've got a great defense, and now they got to take care of business on the offensive side. But some of these texts, I mean, they're really like off the chain. Stuff about, you know, they got to trade, you know, two number one picks for a starting center. You're gonna trade two first round picks for a starting center? Are you out of your mind? You know, they want to bench Caleb Williams after two NFL games. Caleb Williams is going to start all 17 games, folks. And let's hope he stays healthy. I was really, really worried he was going to get hurt tonight. I really was very, very concerned. He took some shots. All right. 312-644-6767. Back in a moment. Chuck Swirsky, Joe Bag of Donuts on the Score.
Third. Four is now 39. Right guard moves quickly.
False start. Offense, number 58. 5 yard penalty. Third down.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, Nate Davis was substituting and rotating with Ryan Bates a week ago. But Coleman Shelton is a center that the Chicago Bears want to try to get after. So what they're doing is they're bringing some five-man pressures. And what does that do, Mike? It isolates the center in a one-on-one situation. So instead of him helping, now he has to take somebody one-on-one.
We're back with more Chuck Swirsky on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, we've talked about what's going on with the offensive line, but again, the Bears have got to establish a running game. I hate to say I'm old school, but I am old school, and I'm proud of it. I believe in good old-fashioned football, blocking, tackling, all that good stuff. And I'm telling you what, the secret, and I know it's 2024, okay? I'm not doing the Clint Eastwood get off my lawn, but I'm telling you, if you want an effective football team on the offensive side, you have to run the football, and you've got to have a really good offensive line, and the rest will take care of itself. Okay, it's like baseball. You got a catcher, you got a shortstop, you got a second baseman, you got a center field. You've got to have up the middle, you've got to have a straight line up the middle. If you give me a really good catcher and a really good shortstop, second baseman combo, and a center fielder, Peter Cor Armstrong, let me tell you what, I don't care if he hits 220. That kid will save runs every day of the week. He's got wheels. He can create. And especially with these stupid rules now where you can only throw to first base twice. I mean, that's almost like, here, give me a blank check because I'm guaranteeing you next year, how many stolen base do you think Peter Cor Armstrong will have next year?
Let's say 50. 50?
Oh, I'm talking more than 50.
Oh,
he'll get on base.
Like Ricky Henderson.
But what I'm saying is, for the Bears, they've got to have a running game. Because the passing game is going to be there. The wide receivers, they're tied in. Hello, Cole Kmet on line one. Play me. But I just think they've got to have a running game. They've got to get an offensive line. That's just my opinion. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Paul in Spring Valley. Where is Spring Valley, Paul?
Well, it's about 100 miles southwest of Chicago.
All right, very good.
But anyway, I'll talk about a couple things. One is I agree with you and previous callers. They do need to upgrade the offensive line, especially guard to guard. But the good news is, if you look closely, they don't need to make a trade. They've got two number twos and a number one pick. You should be able to find a good center and maybe even a good guard, one or two of those picks.
I agree with that. I mean, yeah. Listen, the last thing is I don't want to start trading first-round picks, second-round picks.
Right.
You've got to hold on to these.
Mm-hmm.
And,
also,
and by the way, Robbie, did we ever find out on Justin Fields' deal what to get that fourth-round pick from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, majority of the snaps.
Majority of the snaps. Mm-hmm. Because, see, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid on Russell Wilson. I'm not. I think you got to. Who does Pittsburgh have next week? Robbie, can you tell me?
Do you have that? 1 second.
All right, because, you know, Russell Wilson is dealing with calf injury.
They're going to be home against the Chargers.
Ooh, that'll be a good football game. Chargers are 2-0. So I'm just saying the Bears could get the fourth round pick from Pittsburgh.
Right. Also, I want to call you out on something, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
I got to do this. I have to.
All right.
I think it was last year or it might have been the year before. I heard you on the score, and you made a comment. I'm not going to say because I can't remember exactly what you said, but you made a comment that you thought that Justin Fields would be, you were guaranteeing he would be a great quarterback for the Bears for years to come.
Yes.
I'd like to get your comment on it.
Yes, yeah. And I did, and I believe that. And I'll tell you what, here's my take on Justin Fields. Has Justin Fields hit his ceiling? Or how much more can he improve?
They gave him 3 years as a starter, and he never showed that much improvement except for the second year. I thought his third year would be his breakout year, and it wasn't.
Yep.
He went back.
Here, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Had the Bears beaten the Packers in the last game of the season, had Justin Fields played really, really well, and had the Bears gone into Lambeau and beaten Green Bay on a huge stage, based on what the Bears had done the previous week, right, where Justin Fields went crazy and lit up Soldier Field, where the fans are saying, Justin, Justin, Justin.
Yeah. Am I telling you? DJ Moore was supporting him, too.
Am I telling you the truth? That's what happened, right? Going into the final game.
Yeah.
Had the Bears beaten the Packers and Justin Fields throws for 3 touchdowns and over 300 yards, do you think he's still in Chicago?
No, because previous to that, he showed over and over and over he can't read defenses, and as compared to Caleb Williams, his mechanics is too clanky.
Okay, so
having said that,
then the Bears made the right decision.
I believe,
and I'll tell you what, had the Bears had the fifth pick in the draft. You got to go with Justin Fields. If you get the fifth pick in the draft, you're not in a position to maybe Drew May. Maybe they could move up from 5 to 3. I don't know. All I can tell you is Caleb Williams is the future of this team. I'm glad he's in Chicago. He's a foundational piece. I love the guy. He got hammered tonight. He got clocked. I mean, he got drilled, and he kept coming up, coming up. The guy's a competitor. I love him. I love everything about Caleb Williams. Now, does that mean he played well tonight or last night? No. He probably like a couple, three passes back, but he was running for his life.
That's what I mean. That's why I got to upgrade their offensive line. But I'll tell you what, I kind of agree with a couple of your previous callers. If they want to win games now, they should play teabag and sit and let Williams sit out a couple
games and watch
the game.
No.
Because he plays quarterback though. When he is in there, you could see, and he wouldn't have missed those sideline throws that he missed tonight and last week.
Yeah. Well, again, did he play a perfect game? Obviously not. But I do think he played better tonight than he did in week one. And I'll tell you what, I think he's going to play better in week three than he played in week two. The Bears are going to go into Indiana and beat the Colts. Trust me, they will.
I agree with you on that. But I'm just saying, I think, I'll tell you what, between the hash marks, he's got to release like a laser. I think the kid's going to be a great quarterback. What he needs to get reps on and experience is getting more touch, more loft on his passes for those sideline passes. But I think he has the potential to be great. I agree with you.
He does, and I think he's going to be great. But some of the hits he took tonight, and there was, I mean, those they were teeing up on him. He took some clean, hard shots. And I give the guy a ton of respect. And I think the Bears are set for the next decade with this guy. I love his makeup. I love his ability. I love him off the field. I can't say one negative thing other than the fact he's growing into the job as an NFL quarterback, which is extremely, extremely hard. So thank you for the call. Appreciate it. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. The fans, and I love the fans, and everyone is entitled to your opinion. And I never talk down to a fan. I'm not smarmy. I'm not a guy who has never done sports talk without giving the fans a chance to speak. Does that mean we agree on everything? Of course not. But I'm respectful, and I care about you very much. But I also think we need to use common sense. It's two games, 2 out of 17. You went into the game, and with the exception of the Bears organization, the players, management staff, personnel, no one really in the media gave this ball club a chance to go into Houston and win. And I've said this already on this program that started at midnight, that if you look at teams going into Houston, a legit Super Bowl contender in the AFC, legitimate top-tier AFC team. Not a lot of teams are going into Houston and coming away with a win. No one predicted the Bears to win this game. And I'll tell you what, a play here, a play there, even as poorly as the Bears played, they were in this ball game. And so I think you can build on this, but they got to clean up a lot of stuff to get ready for the Colts, a team they should beat. Let's go to Bob in Downers Grove. Bob, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
The plain and simple fact is, if you Caleb Williams as much as you want, that's your right. But if we have Justin Fields on this team, we win this game today, and we're a playoff team. Right now, we're a 5-win team. You can win 10 games, but we're not. We're going to win 5 games, and instead of having a playoff prospects and Super Bowl hopes, and I'm sitting in the same spot I've been in for the last 5 years, wondering if we should have the backup quarterback come in because Caleb is not ready for this level of competition. It's just that simple. He's so confused, he's going to get himself hurt. Well, a lot of those sacks were on him. The offensive line isn't good. The whole NFL has a problem with offensive lines. So this is what the NFL is, and if you don't get it together, he's going to get rocked all the time. I mean, there's no other way to frame this game than Caleb Williams played horribly, and that's why we lost.
So you're pinning this all on Caleb Williams, and that's why the Bears lost? Are you out of your mind? Wow. I mean, was he a part of the issues tonight? Yes. Is he the focal point of the loss? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Period. They have offensive line issues. They have play calling issues. I mean, they have personnel issues. I mean, for this particular game I'm talking about, I'm not talking about all the way. I don't know what the future holds as far as we get in deeper in the season. Injuries are going to come into play. Hopefully they can clean up the offensive line, the issues they've got there. But Caleb Williams is the starting quarterback, should remain the starting quarterback. He is an NFL quarterback, period. I love the guy. And I just think for people, they've got to chill. It's two games. All right, let's take a break. Back with more. We're going to hear from Caleb Williams in a moment on 670 The Score.